From the Maine Public Broadcasting Network, I'm Barbara Caridi, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Friday, October 2nd, 2015. And on this day, as Maine voters consider whether to tighten campaign finance laws, some prominent politicians are adding their voices to the debate. Several cases of viral meningitis have turned up in southern Maine schools in the past couple of weeks. We'll tell you what causes the disease and how to avoid it. And what's life like for school kids on Maine's islands? We ferry out to take a look. That and more after this.
This Day in Maine is made possible in part by listeners like you and by Lee Auto Malls, serving Maine since 1936 and a proud supporter of MPBN Radio, with locations throughout the state and online at leeauto.com.
I'm Barbara Caridi. Hurricane fears in Maine have eased. Forecasters say Joaquin is now expected to stay out at sea. But Maine Governor Paul LePage is still urging residents to keep an eye on the weather forecast this weekend and to gather emergency supplies just in case the storm's track shifts. LePage says flash floods earlier this week caused by heavy rain are a reminder of how quickly the weather can turn dangerous. The National Weather Service in gray says Hurricane Joaquin could bring higher than average waves and wind on Monday. A Maine gun safety group is calling for more firearms regulation in the wake of Thursday's mass shooting at Umpqua Community College in Oregon. And Emma Connor of the Maine Gun Safety Coalition says a new law that allows Mainers to carry concealed weapons without a permit brings new urgency to the need for more scrutiny of gun sales.
Here in Maine, you can buy a gun without a background check at a gun show. You can buy a gun without a background check for a publication like Uncle Henry's. And starting October 15th, you'll be able to buy that gun without a background check and immediately carry it concealed in a public place.
Connor's group is backing a 2016 ballot question that would require federal background checks on Maine gun sales. Up for consideration on this November's ballot is a measure aimed at addressing the influence of money on Maine politics. Some prominent politicians are weighing in on the issue. Former Maine Senator George Mitchell and current Senator Angus King are backing the measure, while Governor Paul LePage is opposing it. More endorsements on both sides are likely, but will they make a difference? Mal Leary takes a look.
Question one on the November ballot would do a number of things, including boosting funding to the State Clean Elections Fund, increase disclosure requirements, and provide publicly funded candidates access to additional money. The initiative is designed to sidestep a U.S. Supreme Court decision that struck down the matching funds provision of some state laws, including Maine's, that grants extra payments to publicly funded candidates whenever a privately financed opponent spends beyond a certain limit. Senator King, an independent, says he endorsed question one because money is playing too big a role in politics.
It's drowning out the people's voices. And it's not so much that we're saying people can't contribute and be engaged. We want them to be. But there also is a place for everybody else. And I think question one is a way to make that real here in Maine.
In a written statement, former Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell praises the ballot question, saying the proposal will, quote, increase transparency in the political process. But Governor Paul LePage has a decidedly different view. Responding to a question at his town meeting in Bucksport about the question recently, LePage says he opposes the measure.
I think if you run, then go out and raise the money. I've never taken government money, and I don't have a war chest. I go out and I ask people to support me. And that's what I believe every politician should do. We shouldn't subsidize people who want to go to Augusta.
The so-called Clean Elections Law provides funding for legislative races and for candidates running for governor. Very few hopefuls have used the publicly financed option in the governor's races, and it's been used less in legislative races since the Supreme Court ruling on matching funds. LePage believes the law has been misused.
wealthy people took clean election money, then they invested their personal money in beating their opposition. I just don't think that's ethically correct.
Colby College government professor Tony Corrado says that in an off-year election with few questions on the ballot and no real hot-button issues, the campaigns will use every tactic they can to stir interest among voters.
We're going to see both sides on the referendum issue now trying to generate support by getting endorsements for question one.
Corrado says he's not sure if the endorsement tactic will be all that successful. He says political figures have often had difficulty transferring their personal popularity to other candidates or to ballot issues.
The endorsement by well-respected politicians can only take you so far. It will strengthen the views of those who have favorable and very strong feelings about the leadership of the elected officials who end up endorsing, whether it be a Senator King or a Governor LePage.
Corrado says in what is expected to be a low turnout election, the campaigns have to focus on those voters that will actually go to the polls. He says the deciding factor come election day may not be endorsements, but an old-fashioned voter identification and get-out-the-vote effort. For MPBN News, I'm Mal Leary.
On this day, a second case of viral meningitis was confirmed in Yarmouth schools. More than a dozen cases have been reported in southern Maine schools in the last couple of weeks. Patty White reports on exactly what viral meningitis is and how you can avoid catching it.
Five cases of viral meningitis have hit Massabesic High School in Waterboro since school started this year, says Principal Christian Elkington.
We have not seen anything like this in all the years I've been here, to be quite honest.
Cases have cropped up in various York County schools, from SAD 60 to RSU 57 to Sanford schools. And this week, two cases were reported in Yarmouth. Though it may take some schools by surprise, Dr. Stephen Meister, vice president of the Maine chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics, says this is not a new thing.
This is not out of the ordinary. We see these kinds of infections every year this time of year.
Meningitis is a term used when the tissue that covers the brain and spinal cord swells. There are many different types, but viral is the most common and generally the least severe. It causes things like headaches, vomiting, sensitivity to light, and most people recover on their own within 7 to 10 days. Dr. Meister says the best way to prevent it
is by good and frequent hand washing.
Also, keeping your hands away from your face and coughing and sneezing into your arm. There are no immunizations per se for viral meningitis, but Kate Colby, program manager for child health at Maine Health, says that viruses associated with diseases like measles and mumps can also cause meningitis, so keeping those vaccinations up to date is a good idea.
It's a good reminder that although not all viral meningitis can be prevented by vaccines, we do have several vaccines available that can be a good source of prevention.
There are vaccines for the more rare but potentially deadly bacterial meningitis. State epidemiologist Dr. Siri Bennett says those symptoms are similar to viral meningitis, but more severe.
Sudden onset of fever, stiff neck, nausea, vomiting, lethargy, things a little bit more unusual than the common cold. You want to have it checked out.
Because while bacterial meningitis is more serious than viral meningitis, Bennett says it's also treatable with antibiotics. For MPBN News, I'm Patty White.
Union workers at Fairpoint Communications today are upset with a decision by Maine's Unemployment Insurance Commission chair to reverse an earlier decision that awarded unemployment benefits to workers who went on strike against the company. Tom Porter has more.
Two unions reacted angrily Friday to the decision by Chairwoman Jennifer Duddy, an appointee of Republican Governor Paul LePage, to overturn an earlier finding by a hearing officer made in June. More than 1,700 workers in northern New England went on strike in October 2014. They went back to work in late February after ratifying an agreement reached with North Carolina-based Fairpoint during negotiations overseen by federal mediators. Augusta-based attorney Jeff Young, who's representing the unions, says his clients are disappointed but not surprised by the decision.
Given the source of the decision, an appointee of Governor LePage, who required the hearing officers to meet with the governor and listen to a diatribe about how there were too many favorable decisions for employees, I don't think my clients are shocked that this same chairwoman would now issue an unprecedented decision in favor of Fairpoint.
But Young says the Maine workers won't have to repay benefits because he's going to appeal. For MPBN News, I'm Tom Porter.
AOL co-founder Steve Case was in Portland today to boost entrepreneurship. Case is wrapping up a bus tour promoting startups in 19 different places around the U.S. in what he calls the Rise of the Rest Tour.
Portland is on the rise as a startup community. If the community rallies around it, it will continue to rise, and you'll see more and more breakout successes here that will then attract more talent, including boomerang talent. People grew up in Maine and or went to school in Maine and would love to come back.
This afternoon, Case heard from several Maine startups vying for a $100,000 cash investment. Living on a Maine island can be isolating, especially after tourists leave for the season and winter closes in. For children, who number in the handful in many island schools, it's a constant struggle to find friends their own age. But on Maine's outer islands, Monhegan, Cliff, Frenchboro, Isle of Haut, and the Cranberry Islands, one- and two-room schools are using technology and other strategies to connect with each other on a regular basis. And as Susan Sharon reports, that's filling a void for teachers, students, and their parents.
We'll be all set once we get in a little farther ashore.
It takes an hour by ferry to reach Monhegan Island, about 10 miles off the coast of Maine. Stepping off the boat is like walking into a life-size painting. Around every corner is another scenic view. Long a haven for artists, the heavily forested island is also popular with birders and home to about 50 year-round residents, many of whom are lobstermen. But the heart of Monhegan, the heart of every island, is the little one-room school.
Listen up! We are the Outer Islands, TLC, and we're made up of six different islands, one-room schoolhouses just like here in Monhegan, and we have a talent show for you guys tonight.
Jesse Campbell is the coordinator of the Outer Islands TLC, the Teaching and Learning Collaborative. It's a project started several years ago by island teachers to provide peer support to each other and to their elementary school-age kids. Campbell herself was a teacher on Monhegan for 5 years. When she started, she had just two kids.
You always get nervous when your population gets low, but you just know that that's part of the deal and it will come and go, and things like this make you have hope, you know, keep the hope alive that the population will rise again.
To combat the loneliness, the Outer Island schools get together for a multi-day field trip in a different location. This year, Monhegan played host to 30 children in grades K through 8, along with their teachers and parents.
All right, my crew, come with me!
In addition to the talent show, the students held an inter-island council meeting, did some painting, made pretzels, and went on a scavenger hunt.
Have you seen an invasive vine that grows as high as a spruce tree?
I know, we've got to keep our eyes peeled for that.
Three vehicles used on Monhegan.
Golf cart,
truck, golf cart, and Kubota.
Yes!
A Kubota is a cross between a truck and a golf cart. Good for navigating the narrow, unpaved roads on Monhegan.
My name's Maddie Thompson. I've been out here for 24 years.
So 25 years, what brought you out here?
To go lobstering.
Thompson and his wife have a 6-year-old son, Brownell, who is one of just 7 children at the Monhegan school.
He's like the mayor out here. Everybody loves him. He's got all kinds of friends. He's got his summer friends, his winter friends. He's got boats to play in and skiffs and traps and anchors and everything little kids love to play with. He's living the quintessential little kid dream, I think.
But for all the advantages that come with playing outside and having a small supportive community, there are challenges for island kids, especially older kids who live far away enough from the mainland that they can't interact with their peers every day, at least not in the typical way.
Our children cannot take a
like a normal dance class or a karate class. There's a lot of things that our children miss out on being on an island.
Carrie Alley of Islesford has three kids, including a daughter who's a freshman at MDI High School on the mainland. She catches a 6:30 ferry every morning and comes home again at 5 o'clock.
The two things that she was interested in, drama club and a photography club, they don't even start their thing until 5 o'clock.
Allie says eventually her daughter may decide to live with a family on the mainland so that she can get a more traditional high school experience. Either way, Allie says inter-island events through the TLC have helped her children build social skills. Not only do they get together in person several times a year, but their classrooms are connected through video conferencing and computer. They do book groups, and, says teacher Audrey Noether, once a month, they even hold a virtual dance or social.
The kids come up with some kind of a theme, like, you know, whatever they have to wear. And then we dance together. So, you know, they put together their playlist and we dance.
Noether says it's been easier for her to help struggling students who she might not normally connect with in a larger school. In this kind of setting where all eyes are upon you, it's not so easy to hide, and you have to work things out. The school is now up to a whopping 17 students in grades K through 8. The more the merrier, as far as fourth grader Samson Gaither is concerned.
I'd probably prefer a bigger school, but that's my opinion. I just think it'll be funner because there's more kids and people,
Gaither says he understands why some kids might be lonely living out here. But that, he says, is why inter-island field trips and events are so special.
Okay, TLC, it's almost time to go, so make sure to say goodbyes to Monhegan and thank yous. Also, give me a hug before you get on that boat.
As the kids say goodbye and their ferry starts to leave the dock, Jesse Campbell and two other teachers give them a traditional Monhegan send-off. They fling themselves off the pier into the frigid water below. Legend has it that if someone jumps into the water for you when you leave, you'll be coming back. For MPBN News, I'm Susan Sharon.
And that's the news on this day in Maine, Friday, October 2nd, 2015. Our theme music was composed by Robert Holt. Thanks to our news leaders, Keith Shortall and Susan Sharon, and to Mal Leary, A.J. Higgins, Patty White, Tom Porter, Erwin Gratz, and Ed Morin for their contributions to the program. I'm Barbara Caritti. For all of us here at MPBN News, thanks for listening.